Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
I just want to kind of go through the Christmas account that you just heard about a little bit more and maybe a little bit different light. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. If you go to the British Museum in London, this is one of the exhibits that you'll find in this incredible place of history. This is, anybody know? This is the Rosetta Stone. Anybody got that app, the Rosetta app? It's all about languages, right? It's an important artifact in the area of linguistics. It was a decree written by some people in Egypt in a temple. And I don't know if you can really see it well, but on the top, it's all Egyptian hieroglyphics. In the middle is kind of an Egyptian cursive form called Demotic, not to be referred to as demonic, right? And then on the bottom, you really can't see this, but this is ancient Greek. We, before this stone was discovered, couldn't figure out what these Egyptian hieroglyphics said. But then when we found this stone, we knew what the Greeks said, and so we were able to combine it with those at the top and figure out what those were saying. It's an amazing piece of history. If you zoom in on the left-hand side, what is the Rosetta Stone there on the next slide? You'll read a description for that. People come from all over the world to see this artifact. And what I want you to notice is the date on it. 27th of March, 196 BC, right? BC, what's that stand for? Before Christ, right? We live in AD, which stands for Anno Domini, which means the year of the Lord, referring to Jesus Christ. No matter if you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, come down to this earth, right? I think it's incredible that our history hinges on what we're celebrating in this season, the birth of that person, right? The birth of Jesus Christ. And what an incredible thing it is to have for this, something like this, the Rosetta Stone, to be described in relationship to the birth of that person, Jesus Christ. He's the one who split history. That's just one thing, his birth split and his presence split. Many other things were split as well as a result of him coming to this earth. A temple veil was split, right? We know all that that means for us. Rocks were split. Tombs were split. We're going to be looking at some of those things over the next 3 weeks in our sermon series. What I'm hoping, though, is that we just not notice that Jesus split things, but that he also invites us to walk through those things that he split. When Christ arrived on this earth, he changed the eternal destiny of every man and woman, right? By splitting another veil. We talked about the curtain in the temple, but the veil that he split that I want to talk about today is the veil between heaven and earth, between divinity and the dust. This is what we're celebrating on our journey towards Christmas this season. We're celebrating the incarnation, God becoming man. Luke 1:26, would you just stand in honor of God's word? Luke 1:26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. If you have a Bible, a hard copy, I'd underline that verse. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Father, we thank you for this amazing news. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be soft. I pray that we wouldn't be too busy, too distracted to realize the significance of this event and what it means for us. Lord, we pray that we would be transformed by your word to look more like you. Father, have your way during this service and speak to us as only you can, Lord. For it is in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The incarnation. God becoming man is such a stunning miracle. It's old news for us. It doesn't blow our minds because we've been doing it for myself 50 years, right? But it should. Up until this moment, mankind has only seen God in history, right? As God, he walked with man in the Garden of Eden. God walked in the cool of day with Adam and Eve. It was God in human history on the mountain when he met with Moses and hid him in the cleft of the rock as his glory passed by, right? It was God in human history with the tent of meeting when the cloud would descend and the presence of God was visible. Incredible, but up until this point, it's still just God in human history. Now, though, everything is changing. It's not God in human history, it's God becoming humanity in history. It's God putting on flesh. It's God splitting the veil so that the eternal can step into the finite, the heavenly into the earthly. The divine steps into the dust in order that he may die as a ransom for people that rejected him. I love this description found in Philippians 2, 5 through 8. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, that's what we believe, he is God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. I like the way the NLT says it. Though he was God, he did not think equality with God as something to cling to. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. God split the veil through the incarnation by Jesus Christ, right? And he invites us today to walk through that split. And I'm not talking about physically walking through something. No, I'm talking about how we live our lives. How we live our lives in light of that truth, right? It's about how you live your life in light of this revelation. Today and every day that you are on this planet, it's just like God splitting the Red Sea and making a way for the children of Israel to escape into the promised land on that way, right? God split the sea. God made the way, but he didn't force the people to walk through there, right? They had to choose to walk through that area. They had to choose to step into it. God has always been in the business of splitting things. And at Christmas, we're talking about the miracle of God splitting humanity's curtain, the veil, if you will, so that the divine could step into the dust. So what I want us to ask ourselves this morning is, what does that mean for me? What is the difference does that make in how I live my life? What difference does it make that we celebrate, right, this time of season, if God puts on flesh and lived among us? Well, I think if we walk through that miracle, the miracle of the incarnation, we would realize that God has made the first move. That's what we need to get into our hearts, right? In other words, we're celebrating in this season, not us trying to figure out how to make our move toward God, but that he made that first move towards us. He's made the greatest move in the history of mankind. The majority of humanity, it's trying to figure out how to get through the veil from the dust to that divinity, right? That's what we're doing. Your neighbors, your coworkers, maybe some of you yourselves, you're looking for a way to a higher power. Maybe we're looking for a way up an impossibly steep mountain so that maybe if we're good enough, maybe if we try hard enough, maybe if we sacrifice enough, we can find God or find some spiritual meaning. They don't realize he came down. He made the first move, though. Sometimes Christians get caught in this, right? This mindset that says, I have to be good enough to earn my way up that mountain into God's favor. The Jews had 600 laws that they had to keep in order to please God, in order to be accepted by God. And sometimes we today put that same yoke upon ourselves. I have to do all these things, and if I don't, I'm just going to disappoint God. That's religion. That's a heavy yoke to bear, but you don't have to, because Christ came down. John 1:14 says this, the Word became flesh. The Word, meaning Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. What God does that? We have seen his glory. We have seen his presence, right? The glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is John, one of the 12 disciples, right? An eyewitness saying, God has made his dwelling among us. He's testifying to that. We've seen his glory. We've been with him. We've spent the last 3.5 years with him. The glory of the one and only who came from the Father. And he was full of grace and truth. Not only do we not have to find a way somehow to get to him, not only does he come to us, but he comes bearing those two things, grace and truth. Grace and truth is everything that we crave in our being, right? We don't want lies. We don't want AI creating commercials and pretending to be somebody else, saying things and tricking us today, right? We want the truth. And I know I for sure am desperate for grace. He stepped into the dust. He dwelled with us. And he was full of grace and truth. That is our God. He didn't come down full of condemnation and judgment, right? No, he was full of grace and truth. That's available if you walk through that revelation that God became man and dwelled among us. God made the first move. God made the way to him. And instead of having to earn it, you can just live in response to that truth. That's a beautiful place to live. I don't have to earn something. I don't have to earn his favor, right? My kids don't have to earn my love. They are loved because they are my kids. It's the same way with God. He came to me. He went to the cross while I was still a sinner, right? Not when I made everything right, not when I got my life in order. He came while we were still in our sin so that we could be set free. I want to live my life in response to that, in response to that grace and truth. Number two, divinity becoming dust should also help us live with the realization that God has the ability to invade the seemingly mundane with heavenly purpose. In other words, there are no average occupations and lives in here. I don't know how you see yourself, right? I work for the city of Willard in the public works department. We hardly ever get people that bring us gifts or food. If you're a police officer or a firefighter, you get it all the time, right? People are very just. Those are the special jobs with the city, right? Those are the extraordinary people. But if God stepped into the dust to be a servant, right? If he came to us, there are no insignificant people in this room. There are no jobs that cannot be invaded with divine purpose. Can I challenge you with that? Can I challenge you to look at your job, to look at your neighborhood, to look at your community as your mission field? That's what it is. That's why you're there. You've been placed right in the middle of that. Mary was a teenager, minding her own business. She was in love with a dude, right? And the heavenly incarnation brought amazing purpose into her life. She wasn't a queen. She wasn't a huge social media influencer, right? She was simply a young woman that allowed herself to be used by God. And that's what's available to each and every one of us today. God revealed the incarnation, as we saw in the play, through a heavenly host of angels to who? To shepherds. Shepherds, they were the lowest rung on the socioeconomic ladder in this time frame. A lot of people who were shepherds were actually convicts. That was the only job that they could get. It was one of the lowest jobs that this culture saw in its time period, and God brought heavenly purpose to those men, right? The sky split, a choir sang, and God said, "You'll be among the first to see what I'm doing. So don't let anyone, right, sell you that your occupation, that your place that you're in doesn't really count in the grand scheme of things. There's nothing on earth that God can't invade with heavenly purpose. I pray that we all invite him to do that. How do you do that? Here's one simple way that you can live this out, right? At your work or at your community or at your home, right? Be a person of prayer. When you learn about a coworker's battle with something, just go up to him and say, "Hey, can I approach the throne room for you on your behalf? It would be a privilege to pray for you." And do that right then and there with them. And write it down and take it home, right? What is my friend in school dealing with? I'm going to pray for that person every day. I'm going to approach the Father with that prayer request, right? Do that every day and then come back to him and ask him, "Hey, how's that going? I've been praying for you, and I'm just concerned for you." You, if you do that, will become known as a person of prayer, right? You'll invite the dust into the presence of the King, of the Divine. What an amazing privilege that is. I had a lady this week in a meeting, right before the meeting was going to start, she just came up to me and she said, "There's some things going on in my family right now. I can't go into it, but would you just pray for me?" What a privilege, right? What a privilege. That's the source that you can be. You can be a mediator, right? And I've been praying for her and for her family for all this week, and I can't wait to go to her next week and reach out to her and just see how everything's going, right? That's what you can do. That's just something simple that you can do. Keep doing that, right? If you do, you'll become known as somebody that can be reached out to in times of trouble. You'll bring the divine into the dust. No matter what your occupation is, you can see the heavenly invade the mundane. But you have to be willing to put yourself out there. The third thing the incarnation does, it allows us to know that God gets us, right? You have probably at one point been talking to somebody and you've been explaining what's going on in your life, and they nod their head and they say they understand what you're going through, but you know they really don't know what you're going through because they haven't lived it, right? That's not our Lord and Savior. He gets us, right? He gets us because he came down and lived it. And while he was here for 30-some years, right, he experienced extreme betrayal. He experienced extreme pain and suffering, right? He gets us. Well, James, I know he did those things and had those things happen to him, but he doesn't know exactly what I have been through. My friends, he bore every sin. He's experienced everything. He's experienced the wrath of God towards that sin. My friends, he gets it. He knows what you're going through, what you're dealing with, right? And right now, he stands at the right hand of God as a mediator, so that when we pray, right, he can bridge that gap. That's the God that we serve. Every cruel act done to someone, he bore that. Every sin he took upon himself. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this: God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Whatever you're going through, he gets it. What he did changes. It splits our story because he can take all of that pain, all of those storms, right? All of our sin, all of the mistakes that we've made, all of our selfishness, and he can replace it with his righteousness. Our old story was nobody gets what I've been through. But now, because divinity stepped into the dust, he gets it. Last point. Walking through the incarnation allows us to be confident that God is near, right? You may not be able to see him, but no matter what your circumstances are, he is near. He's a step away. He's a cry away, right? Christmas of 1999 was the loneliest Christmas of my life. It was a horrible year. I lost all my friends and a lot of people that were very important to me. I had my mom and my grandmother still there, but that was it. I was broke. I had no money. I had to get a second job as a janitor just to make ends meet. I had to get rid of my cable TV. I had to get rid of my cell phone teens just to make it financially. I felt like I had nothing and no one. That was the worst time in my life, but it turned to the best time in my life because in my brokenness, God became very real to me. That's what I pray for my kids. I pray that God is real to them because I know what it was like being a teenager and knowing about God, but not necessarily knowing God and knowing that he was there. Psalm 34:18, I always use this when I preach a funeral. I start off with this, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. There's something about that that's true. When you are brokenhearted, he draws nearer to you. Christ was very near to me, and I sought him like no other time in my life. I had nothing else to do, right? That was the beauty of that. There was only Christ in my life. And he became a refuge in that storm. At the same time, the church became a family to me. And it changed the course of my life. Psalm 68:4-6 says this, sing to God, sing in praise of his name, extol him who rides on the clouds, rejoice before him. His name is the Lord, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. Is God in his holy dwelling? God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing. I don't know everything that you're facing this Christmas. Christmas is a joyous time. It's also a dark time for a lot of people. It may be the darkest time you've ever been in. But my friends, God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing. That is what is available to you today. The church would love to be your family. Draw near to the one who drew near to you first. Let him put you in a church family. If you do that, maybe you'll look back at this time and say, like me, it was the darkest time, but it was the time where God became real for the very first time in my life, where God became a refuge in the storm, a high tower in my life. This is your time. This is a season that we are in today. This season that reminds us that the divinity stepped into the dust. This is your opportunity to walk through that veil that's already been split. This is your time to walk through it with somebody else who may need to as well. Look for that person. Be available for them. Walk through that veil into a friendship with God, into a relationship with God like you've never had. Be an AD person, right? Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. That's the age that we live in today. This isn't before Christ. This is the year of our Lord and Savior. We're standing in the Lord's favor right now. Would you stand with me? Jesus, when he announced his public ministry, he picked up a scroll and read these words from the prophet Isaiah. We have it in Luke's account, Luke 4:18-19. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom from the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Let Christmas remind you that you live in AD, the year of the Lord's favor. Time has been split. Divinity has stepped into the dust. This world was made by Jesus. It was made through him. Maybe you don't recognize him, but I promise you that if you cry out to him, he will respond with grace, with truth, right? He'll step into the dust of your life and make himself very real to you. This could be the year of the Lord's favor for you. If you don't know him, today is the day for the dust to say to the divinity, step into me, birth life, birth new life into me, save me, bring me to an everlasting hope, bring me into a relationship with you. All of us can pray and ask the Almighty God, right, to do that. And I promise you, if you do, you'll experience something that you've never experienced before. True freedom, true hope, true peace. That's what's available. That's why we get so excited about this season. Don't make it about, oh, everything else and be so busy that you miss out on this. Give your life to him. You'll never regret it. Amen? Pray with me. Father, I thank you for today. Thank you for what the kids did. Thank you for parents that are willing to let their kids come here. Let their kids be a part of this. Lord, we pray that this season, we pray that it would be a time for people to come to know you, to see that God came down, that we don't have to climb a mountain to get to him, that we don't have to be good enough to get to him, that he came down to us, he came down while we were in the dust, so that he could make a way back to him. Father, I'm reminded that at one time we were in your presence face to face, but we rejected that. But you spent the next hundreds and thousands of years on a path to restore that relationship. And that's what we celebrate today, that you came down and started that. Lord, we give you all honor. Father, I pray if there's anybody in here who doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that they would say, come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior today. I pray that you would give them peace, that you would give them hope, Lord, like they've never experienced before. Father, I know that there is nothing good in me, and it is only by your grace that I can be free. And so I give you all honor and praise for that, Lord. Lord, be with these next few weeks, Lord, and help us to remember the true reason of what we're celebrating today, Lord. We love you and we give you praise. In your name we pray. Amen.